Thank you very much, Doc. Last team to go back-to-back, 97 and 98, Detroit Red Wings. What does this mean to the Pittsburgh Penguins, matching that?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, you know, we knew it was going to be tough all year, but we just tried to keep with it. We had a lot of injuries and things like that, so we just kept finding ways. That was really what we did all season, all playoffs, and it's great to be able to do it.
How did you guys keep it on the rails? You had to kill off a huge 5-on-3 in the third period.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, you know, Art Kill did a great job. Murr made some saves, and then I think we got a boost from that. We were able to get some momentum after that, and then Horny gets a big goal there.
Murr and Horny, how about that? Sidney Crosby after the game with Pierre Maguire on the ice in Nashville. Who would have thought his nickname was Murr? With Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick until 7, Joey Alfieri, full hour of Soccer Talk, the impact this week, and then our coverage of Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight in Oakland, the Warriors hosting the Cavaliers, tip-off after 9 o'clock. Welcome back. Every Monday at this time, we are joined by award-winning writer and broadcaster Michael Farber off the set of the reporters at TSN in Toronto. By the way, we have a very significant programming announcement. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Connor McKenna will share the news. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's hot, it's humid, hockey season, thankfully, is finally over.
Yeah, but we're going to miss it. We're going to miss P.K. Subban playing for Nashville. We're going to miss Sidney Crosby. The last two games were exceptional. And we talk a lot about Crosby. And I think the most revealing stat is he's fifth all-time in career points per game. And in this era, that's remarkable. But what we hadn't talked a lot about was Sidney Crosby's leadership in recent years. In fact, people grumbled, well, the next time Team Canada assembles for a best-on-best, Jonathan Toews, maybe he's a more deserving captain than Sidney Crosby. But if you go back to Game 5 and what he did right from the first shift when he created something out of nothing, draws that penalty, sets up the power play goal, and what we saw last night after Hornquist's goal. I mean, he's the one calming everyone down, saying, hey, we have a minute and a half to go. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. You see the leadership there. And I think we've talked so much about Crosby. What we haven't talked enough about is his leadership. And at crunch time in a series, you might say Nashville was a better team through four games. It was Crosby who made the difference.
And showed a lot of character, of course, Sid being the best player in the world again, winning the Conn Smythe. He was our leader and picked up the team when we needed it. And of course, Malkin, Kessel, and all these guys. And of course, our two goalies did an amazing job. So, it's never gets old to win the cup, but this one was a tough one.
Mary Lemieux with Pierre Maguire on the ice afterwards. That was when the series was won by Pittsburgh. That first shift, right? You can tell he was a guy possessed. He was not going to be denied.
And that's the way he played down the end, and that's why he deserved the Conn Smythe. So now you go back to Bernie Perron, whose otherworldly goaltending in 74-75 was as much a difference as Bob Clark and whatever else the Flyers brought in those years. And then it's Mario in 91 and 92. Talking about a third straight cup the Penguins should have had there and were derailed, of course, in 93 by the Islanders, much to the delight of Montreal, which got a tired Islanders team less than two full days later and kind of rode that into the Stanley Cup final. You go back to the last time it happened, Detroit, and see what Detroit had to go through to get there. Colorado was stacked in the late 90s, and Dallas was stacked. When you look what Pittsburgh had to fight through just to get out of its own division, the Metropolitan, Columbus was a 100-plus point team, and then Washington, again, 117 or 18-point team, President's Trophy 2 years in a row. So it reminds me a little bit of what we saw that then in the pre-salary cap era, not acquainting the Penguins with that Red Wings team. I don't think they are as talented even with Crosby and Malkin. But still, it's a remarkable accomplishment. And coming from the Metropolitan Division, it's that much more noteworthy.
Fans continuing to back the Predators. Puck hammered in wide of the net. Watson goes down after it. And now a quick shot goes wide. And here is Subban with a shot. That goes high. And boy, the Penguins rush the ice right now to celebrate. Throwing helmets, sticks, gloves in the air. This is the first time this has happened here in Nashville. And the fans, obviously, none too happy. It's a devastated group of Predators over on that bench.
Pete Weber, longtime voice of the Predators. Michael, I personally have had enough. I had enough a while ago with the hockey season. I understand what you're saying. But I must admit, I was terribly envious of not being able to cover this final, specifically in Nashville, with the extra days. I hope those people who had the good fortune to do so will realize how fortunate they were.
Well, Crosby won the Conn Smythe, but Nashville was the star of the Stanley Cup final, the city, not the team. And it was great. I mean, this could have been happening in Hamilton. I mean, that's where a decade ago it looked like it was heading. You wonder how long it can be sustained. You'd think they'd build from here. I remember a couple of years ago, I was doing a story on Pekka Rinne, and they were playing Washington, and it was a midweek game, and there were about 3,000 empty seats in the building. And I was a little bit surprised. I thought hockey fans there would be pleased to see Alex Ovechkin, a player they don't get to see too often in their barn. But the attitude was described to me this way. And they said, well, people are used to going to one football game a week. You know, when they have two or three home games in a row, oh, we got to go again? So that was Nashville hockey only a handful of years ago. There were annual playoff disappointments, and now it's taken off. Although, you know a lot more about music than I do, Mitch. Did you ever hear of Luke Bryan until a day or two ago?
Yeah. But
okay,
yeah.
Well, I hadn't. Yeah, I thought he was one of the Bryan doubles players. You know, Bob Bryan and Mike Bryan. I thought he was like the third brother. I didn't know any of these people, but it was a thing.
Come on, you know Faith Hill.
Oh, Faith Hill, I knew. And
yeah,
I knew
you know Carrie Underwood?
Tug McGraw.
No, Tim McGraw.
Well, I knew Tug McGraw.
Yeah, well, that's why he's wearing 44, right?
Well, we were kind of friendly. In fact, I saw Tug McGraw pitch the first time the Mets, maybe the only time the Mets beat Sandy Koufax. Tug McGraw was the starter back in those days, and we kind of became friendly when he was pitching for the Phillies. Yeah, I know some of those names.
Michael's not up. Michael's not up on New Country. You know, clearly.
No, that's it.
But you know what? If you spent 1 week in Nashville, you'd recognize all these names.
And it's a fun place. I likened it in some ways to Quebec City, because it was so distinctive. When you were in Quebec City covering hockey, and the fans in Quebec City were as good as any I've ever seen, as knowledgeable as any I've ever seen, but you couldn't be any other place other than Quebec. You're in other cities, and they're interchangeable, but Quebec was different.
So were they booing Bettman because that's the thing to do, or did they not realize without him they probably don't have a team?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was kind of the chic thing to do, and it was flat wrong. There you go. I guess it's become a rite of passage, and you understand the origins of the catfish, of course. And you go back, the original Predators fans were mostly from the Detroit area. There was a Saturn plant. Remember the old Saturn automobile in Spring Hill, Tennessee, not far from Nashville, and all these auto workers moved from Michigan, and they brought their traditions with them. So instead of octopi, we get catfish.
Oh, you ever? I saw a video of a Pittsburgh fan eating a raw fish today. I mean, can you imagine, Gallo? Like, you'll eat almost anything, right? While it's still moving.
Yeah. No. Like, and I'm also not a big fish guy in general. Yeah. So raw catfish? Was it catfish?
Crawfish or catfish? I'm not sure.
It has to be catfish. I mean, my favorite sushi place, Mizu on Sherbrooke Street, I'm going to ask them to get catfish sushi on the menu. And,
well, now that you mention them, they'll get whatever you want. Let's go to Rafi.
Every time that you win a major, you don't know if it's the last one, and you know that, no? It's everyone is so difficult, no?
And kind of overshadowed around here, of course, with the F1 and the Stanley Cup Final and everything going on the weekend is coming out of hibernation after 3 years winning in the major, the French Open.
Yeah, that was remarkable in 10 of these things. But let's not sell Nadal short, because he has 15 Grand Slams, and he's won the career Grand Slam. He has one Australian, two Wimbledons, and two U.S. Opens. So, yeah, I mean, he's been tremendous, and he's played in an era with Djokovic, and of course with Federer. So it's men's tennis has never been better. But somehow in the rush to embrace what Nadal has done, Rod Laver has been overlooked. You know, Rod Laver, and people will concede Federer is the best ever. I don't. Rod Laver won the Grand Slam twice. He won it in 62 and 69. And for 5 years before open tennis began in 68, he was banned from playing Grand Slam tournaments because he had turned pro. And he won the pro Grand Slams, but that didn't seem to count. There was a hearty band of people getting paid above board. The other people were getting money under the table until 68 in the year of open tennis. But Rod Laver would win on all surfaces, and he's just a great all-around player. And of course, this is back in the wood racket era. So, he was dropped in out of the top five list by some people who wanted to promote Nadal. It's been remarkable. But yeah, Nadal goes into Wimbledon knowing he can win it. Djokovic is down. Federer is preparing. So, he again has revived interest. But I just don't want people to forget what the greatest player I've ever seen has done.
That's important because this is before, this is pre-internet. So for a lot of people, he didn't exist. So now you're going to get people to, okay, who's this Rod Laver dude that that Michael is talking about? That is important. It's like the whole debate, which is at times can lead to a lot of wasted energy. But, you know, if you're going to talk about the greatest centerman of all time, Sidney Crosby's part of the discussion. Of course he is. Is he better than Jean Beliveau? That's, well, you know, that
he's only playing the 10th, 11th, 12th hole of his career.
Right.
I mean, there are other seasons. There are other awards. Maybe there are other cups. He will pad these numbers. I mean, he's fifth all time in points per game scoring. And if you look at the era he's played in, that's absolutely remarkable. And if you go back and put stuff in a time capsule and try to explain to future generations, what was this guy like? It's not like the Gretzky 50 and 39. It wouldn't be like the Mario goal where he stick-handled through everybody. It would be the first shift of Game 5 and the rest of that 6-0 game. You would say, this is who Sidney Crosby was.
Last night, the Stanley Cup was won right here on TSN 690. Tonight, the NBA Finals could come to an end. Will they come to an end tonight?
Well, you remember the old light bulbs with the filament, and just before they'd burn out, they'd get brighter. Mm-hmm. That was essentially the Cleveland Cavaliers at home in Game 4. They scored a record number of points in the first quarter in the first half and ended up winning a game. Yeah, I think it's over. You know, Golden State has been so tremendous. They're allowed to lose a game in the NBA final. And people say, well, Kevin Durant made them a better team. You have to understand the NBA is a little bit like high school, except taller. And everybody wants to sit with the cool kids in the cafeteria. Well, Kevin Durant looked at Golden State and the way they played and said, yeah, that looks pretty good. I want to join those guys. And so he's just another cool kid. We had super teams before. We saw it with the Celtics and the Lakers in the 80s. People wanted to be part of that as well. So Kevin Durant really has tipped the equation in favor of Golden State. Last year, Steph Curry was badly damaged and he was tired down the end. I don't see Golden State backing off, and I would presume they will win tonight.
Our coverage gets underway at 8, tip-off a little after 9. As you're talking about the old light bulbs, a lot of people are like that, too. Right? I mean, there is this, like, last burst of energy that a lot of people have. But what's the name of that sushi place again?
Mizu on Sherbrooke, near Melrose. You're just down from Melrose.
Yeah. Wow. Michael Farber, good NDG boy, just like Shane Murphy. Great talking to you. We'll talk to you in a week.
Okay, thanks, Mitch.
Bye-bye.